Okay, welcome back. Because I already start to see faces that I've seen before, so that kind of, you're all part of the family now, right? For the ones that haven't been to any of the presentations before that I did, my name is Dandy, Technical Product Manager on SQL Server and Microsoft Business Intelligence. As you can probably hear from my accent, I'm still working on my New Zealand accent a little. I grew up in Belgium and I moved to Redmond about 5-6 years ago. If you're here for a session that was on the printed agenda on that was presented by Dave will take the session immediately after this because we switched time slots in order to work with my travel schedule. So thanks for that, Dave. So we're going to talk about data discovery and insights using Power BI, which is basically, we kind of give a lead up to that as part of the SQL 2014 session. What we're going to do in this session is we're really going to take our time and drill down into some of those components and some of those capabilities. Okay. What's really great about this, the majority of the things that you're going to see today, you probably have not played with yet. And you could start playing with that as soon as you want to, because we actually announced So Power Query is one of the tools we're going to be using that is publicly available. You could download that and use that within Excel 2013. And we actually announced today the availability of Power Map, which is our 3D visualization, that is release candidate as of today, and so also available for download. Okay? My contact information is up there as well, in case later on you have some questions, you want to send me an email, or a thank you card or flowers. We can definitely do so. So the world of data is changing. We see that there's a big increase every 5 years in the amount of data, and there's like 85% of that data is coming from new data types. Data types that we haven't used in the past, such as even devices that we haven't used in the past. Is there anyone in the room that has a Windows phone? Yeah, quite a lot of people, okay? There's a really cool application that I started playing with, which is written by one of our Microsoft PMs. It's a GPS track recorder. And what's really nice about it, if you travel, your taxi driver can no longer take you for an additional spin or loop because you see the entire track being recorded every 3 seconds. Now, the cool thing about it is you can actually visualize that because it's using latitude, longitude information. And it uploads onto Windows Azure and SkyDrive and so on. And you can then do some really nice data analysis on it. Okay. If I ever show up late to a meeting, it's not because the cab driver took me for a spin. It's because I took myself for a spin trying to find the entrance to the building. And I probably looped around for a couple of times. So there's some really fun stories that I could tell just on that. So keeping track of all that data, things like web logs, clicks, and so on, really generates a huge amount of data explosion. And what we see is that the average adult has an average of 4.3 connected devices. Okay, that 0.3 stands for all the non-Microsoft devices because they renew every 6 months, right? So the moment you get one, it's already expired. But that's kind of what happens there. And 27% of the businesses are nowadays using social media as an input. And I was kind of before the session kind of talking about my daughter that misses me. I've actually got a great story on that. One day I went to pick up some, I had a dentist appointment and they called me and say like, hey, we're sorry to tell you, but your appointment is going to start 30 minutes late. I'm like, oh, 30 minutes, what am I going to do with those 30 minutes? So we're like, oh, there's a grocery store here, I'm going to shop for baby food. Because I know my wife is going to ask me anyways to go shop for baby food. So I enter the store, buy the baby food, and I come home and I look at that baby food and the date on the food was expired. So no problem, I take a picture of it and put that on my Facebook page, and I add in the name of the company and say like, hey, I can't believe I just bought baby food at this store and it expired. Less than 5 minutes later, I had a message and they asked me to contact them. It wasn't their legal department, But so what they asked me is like, hey, where did you buy this food? They actually were very good about it. They send out inspection to the store. They send a car to my house to come and pick up the baby food. And they brought me not just the food that I bought in the amount that I bought. They brought me like 10 additional boxes of it. Okay. So that's the power of social media in terms of keeping your customers happy and getting insights on how your customers feel and think about your products, right? Now, as we covered in the Siegel 2014 session, Microsoft productivity vision is all about giving you the best experience across devices, being able to leverage and implement cloud on your terms. So we'll have that across messaging, voice and video, content management, enterprise and social, but also data and data analytics. You've seen a lot on Siegel 2014 things. So let's talk about some of those BI capabilities. And the core design for information workers and IT is we want to make sure that we have self-service BI that is easy to use, familiar tools that I guess each and every one of you use. Probably not to the extent as our fellow MVP up front here, Peter Myers, with his cube functions. But so really, really exciting BI capabilities that we put directly into Office, giving you the capability to really start drilling and digging down into your data. And we want to bring that through trusted services like Office 365, giving you a fast, solid environment to be able to combine those. So as we talked about that, Microsoft Power BI is an offering that we have on Office 365 where the authoring experience fully sits within Excel. And then the collaborative experience sits within Office 365, being able to share. We showed that in a Siegel 2014 session on how you could do natural language querying without actually having to build a report, because the report is automatically generated using the best visualizations, totally leveraging some of the BI capabilities. And we want to bring that on any device, which means any HTML5 compliant device will be able to leverage and use those visualizations, which I also actually already showed you. Now, when we announced a codename project called Data Explorer, which we branded as Power Query, it really brings out the Power Query capabilities that we have within the tool. So it's an add-in that I can add to Excel 2013, and I can actually start drilling down into each of those capabilities and really shape data into the way I like that data to see and I like to work with that data. So we can transform, we can merge and combine that data from multiple sources, and I think with that combination, we're actually very unique. We offer any kind of data source we can potentially even think of, and we can merge those data sets nicely together. Okay, we're gonna look at some of those on what that combination is. Now, if we look at data sources, of course, SQL Server, we could use Windows Azure SQL Database, we could use Insta Insight, we could use Oracle, Teradata, MySQL, or Facebook, XML, Active Directory, anything you can think of, including CSV files and text files and whatever you can think of, you can really start using those using Power Query and then bring them together and merge those result sets and then publish those directly and generate a Power Pivot model out of that. What we're gonna do is we're actually gonna see on how we do that with Power Query and how we can build that up into a workbook, publish that workbook, and then bring in some 3D visualizations just with that as well. Okay, let's have a look at that. There we go. So I'm gonna start in Excel. And now you can actually see Excel, right, in the first moment. So what I can do here is I can go to Power Query, and as I said, I have multiple data sources that I can pull from. So what I'm able to do is I can actually go to Windows Azure Marketplace and go to the Data Mart where I signed up for, and I'm gonna start logging in there. Okay, so dandy. At ilikesql.com. What's my password again? There we go. So first thing it's gonna prompt me is gonna say like, hey, do you have access to Data Mart subscription to which you actually might have access. Okay? So what I can do now is I'm logging in, I'm going to save my settings, and what it's going to do is all the subscriptions that I did on Azure Data Market, I can actually get access to. So I can see my navigator here, and I can look and say like, oh wow, there's some interesting things there. Worldwide historical weather, which basically will tell me whether or not I need to pack a rain jacket when I come to New Zealand this time of the year. So I did, and I actually only used it today. But what I can do is I can start combining those data sets and use them with things that I have sitting in my database. Okay? If I am a company that is selling ice cream, and I want to find out why all of a sudden my sales dropped, or my sales in summer of 5 years ago was pretty bad compared to what I had the year after, why would I not overlay that with weather information that might indicate, but hey, wait a minute, that region had a really poor summer. No need to look any further. People are not going to go sit out on a bench and eat ice cream, right? Unless they're at a convention center and they offer them inside. But so what I can do is I can actually pull in that data set, or I can pull in other information like US air carrier flight information, okay? This is an interesting data set. If any of you travel and you ever need to decide whether you can make your connection or not, you can almost predict whether your flight is going to be delayed, and it would be really nice if you were to combine that with data sets that would make sense and overlay that with weather information. Now, Power Query really allows us to grab those data sets together, but also do transformations on top of them. So what I can do here is I can look at the carrier, I can look at which day of the month it is, what time of a delay, where did it start from, what was the destination, and I see all these US airports here based by airport code. But what I can do is I can say like, hey, wait a minute, this column here, I want to change that into a date, because I only want to see that by day. So I'm actually already starting to transform my data, and I can start playing with that. Now, okay, I have all these airport codes, but it doesn't really tell me where things are. So what I can say now is I have this query that's pulling in my airline information. Oh, wow, 15,000 rows already. That's a lot of delays, right? So while it's pulling that information in, what I actually can do is using that query, I can actually start building my Power Pivot model. Because I have the possibility here to say like, hey, I want to load this data set that I retrieved from a public resource that I'm subscribing to, pull that in, and then load that to my Power Pivot model, where I can build expressions, I can build aggregations, and really enhance my model for the reporting or the visualizations that I would like to do. Okay? Now, what else I can do is, as these records are coming in, I'm going to go to a separate tab, and I'm going to look at some of the other data sources that I might have. Okay? I would be able to say that, you know what, we had this. What else I can do is I can now go to other resources and say, I want you to retrieve information from HD Insight, okay? So I can now go to my HD Insight server, and on that HD Insight server, I have some data there. Let's see what's in there. Lots of things that I didn't really need in this case. Okay, so I could browse that file system, but I can look at, for example, at Twitter data, which seems to be captured into a text file, and I can say, like, you know what? I want to grab this data, expand it, and look at those Twitter feeds. Okay, if people are delayed at airports and the airline doesn't treat them nice, they will put that on Twitter. Okay, I'm one of those, by the way. So. And I go like, oh, again, I got stuck at this airport. And it really tells you which airport you should not be flying depending on the time of the year. Now, going into my transformations, of course, what I can do is I can say like, hey, I want to transform this into a JSON document so that my records will become clearer and nicer. And I could see what it was created at, what user, what geo, see if I have any geo-coordinates, because nowadays a lot of those Twitter feeds have geocoding, latitude, longitude tagging in there. So I can then pull that in. I can look at those user records, see the screen name, see the location, and see whether that person was, or that the username where he tweeted from was geolocated, okay? And really pull in that information and say like, hey, you know what? There's a couple of things that I, columns that I don't need, so let's remove these, let's remove those, and so on. Now, as I'm showing you, I have not pulled any data from any of my operational own databases, right? Of course, I can combine those and say, hey, you know what? Wait a second. What we want to do as well is we're going to add another data source to it. Okay, I'm going to Power Query and say I want to have data coming from any of the databases that I might have, or I want to pull in data from the web, okay, which could be a direct URL that I could provide, or I can do online search, and the online search capability is actually quite interesting. Actually, what we're doing with the Power Query capabilities is once that you build your data and combine those data together, you can share that out within your organization, okay? Which means you're building out an information catalog and sets of data that you could make available within your organization, so when someone searches for it, he's gonna find that data and he could use that data. So what I'm gonna search for is, let's say, US airports, okay? So that's going to perform an online search and find a list of airports. So what I see here, I have a list of airports in the United States, which has their FAA airport code, they have the other international standard codes, and have the city and location with that. Okay. So what I have now is I'm going to pull in this one and say like, okay, that's the data set I would like to use. I'm gonna add this to my worksheet as well, okay? And I can really merge and combine those data sets together nicely, okay? So what I have here is I have a list of all those cities and those airport codes, but of course I'm going to be building up and lead up to my report and my visualizations, right? What I would like to see is a combination of what I have on this workbook here that, by the way, is still downloading, okay? And it looks like I have a restriction here. I need to load to the data model because I need to load this to Power Pivot. What I can do is I can download all those airport delays, and then once that I have those airport delays loaded, combine and merge those data sets together. So that's one of the capabilities I can do with Power Query. Now, what am I going to do once that I have these all loaded? What I can do is I can merge and combine those together. How many of you were in the SQL Server 2014 session? Okay, most of you, right? What I did there was, hey, actually, we did another online search and we looked at alcohol consumption and see where things go with that and how I could combine those, okay? So I grab all these data sets together. And so one of the other things that I did within one of my workbooks is I actually merged and combined those data sets into a single unit that I can now really start combining and build my report capabilities on top of that. So let's go back to the presentation real quick. There we go. The moment I built out this data set, this will be exposed into my Power Pivot workbook. Now that's where the great visualization capabilities will come in. And I can now start visualizing that data using a Power View report, okay? So I can look on those delays that I have within each of the airlines and then combine and bring those together. And I'm actually gonna pull that up into a workbook that I actually have ready to go because I can now really start leveraging the Power Pivot capabilities and combine all those data sources nicely together. So what I have here is I pulled in all that information on each of those airports, the airport code, and I'm using the Power Pivot functionality within Excel 2013. So I can then put in some slicers and dicers and filter out, use things like conditional formatting, show my ranking on each of those columns and say like, hey, find me what the busiest airport is, combine and overlay those multiple data sets together. Okay. What else I can do is I can continue to really build out that workbook into a model where I can now start filtering. Okay. I can see like, hey, what's going to be my average delay on the total number of flights that I pulled in? Okay, so I have 2.4 million flights sitting in this workbook. And what I can do is I can say like, hey, what is my originating airport? And let's see, that would be a good example. I'm gonna be flying from, let's say, what do we have here? Look at all these airports. Okay. And I can even find Los Angeles there. Okay. I'm gonna fly from one location to the other. What I'm gonna look at, hey, you know what? Forget about that filter. Show me delays for a specific airline. And then I start filtering and see what are the number of flights that get delayed. I could find out what is the worst airline, what is the best airline to fly, and so on. Now, of course, I can represent that not only using all the functionality exposed through the Power Pivot model with the slicer and the dicer capabilities, I can actually also put that in to a Power View report that will then give me the visualizations directly within Power View, and then I could just represent that data that way. Now, what have we done? We introduced another capability that we call Power Map. Now, the Power Map visualization allows you to really do some really cool stuff with that. And I want to show you that you could really use this from a global perspective. Okay, a lot of people think Microsoft releases something, it's US-centric. No, what I can do is things like this. I'm going to start a new workbook. Okay. So what I'm going to do is, with my new workbook, I'm going to go to Power Query. I'm going to say I want to retrieve data from a CSV file. Okay, and we're going to browse for some of that CSV data. Okay, I can look at my Power BI sample files. And I have something in there that is New Zealand postal codes. Okay. I don't even know what I am on the map if I were to look at New Zealand. And that's not because I live in the United States, but I'm from Belgium. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to pull in all those codes, and then I can make modifications to it, but I can also really start mapping those out. Now, the postal code table that is published for New Zealand is going to give you the best visualization and the mapping capabilities that you have. If you were to map on latitude, longitude, that's the most accurate thing you can get. Okay, you know exactly where you are. So I do have latitude, longitude here. What else I can do is I can say like, hey, I have this matched address. What I would be able to do is I would be able to say like, you know what? This is nice. I want to duplicate this column. So this is gonna give me a copy, but I also want to split this column based on a delimiter that needs to split at every and each occurrence of the delimiter. Okay? So what I have now is, bang, I just split up those columns right there. Okay? So now that I have this in, I can start filtering my data. It's imported, and I could really combine that with any of the data sets that you might have within your company or databases. Okay? Now, when we talk about visualization, yes, I had the Power View capabilities, but let's focus for a second on the Power Map capabilities that we have, which is going to show you some really nice magical things there. And I'm going to go back to this real quick. Okay? So Power Map, we codename that as GeoFlow, allows you to do really interactive visualization, touch-friendly, touch-enabled, and really combine those data sets and bring them to life. Okay? Actually, this is a project that was started within Microsoft Research by the guys that were working with a project that was called Worldwide Telescope, where they started doing different layers of visualizations on the Worldwide Telescope. And you can look this up. This actually, this project, you can look into the details of that. And we said, like, you know what? That would bring some really amazing visualizations if we could start leveraging those with our BI capabilities. So you see that a lot of the things that we do at Microsoft are spun up in Microsoft Research, and then we bring them to live into our products, thinking about some of the new capabilities that we're putting into the next version of Xbox, for example. So some of the ideas and the way you could use that level of visualization is, what if I want to look at distribution of crime data? And I think Miles is actually going to be doing a session that's going to go on that visualization and work with New Zealand crime data. After spending a couple of days with him, I think he's a little criminal, so he's probably the best guy to look in those kind of data sets. But some of the things that really work great for estimation and visualization would be, for example, real estate assessment, voting trends, that you could really start mapping out per distribution. If you're gonna play with Power Map, one of the demos that we have to play with is actually going to show you real estate property, when it was built, and what the consumption of electricity is depending on the year that that region or that house was built. You see some really nice visualizations in which you could do heat maps, create multiple patterns. If we think about healthcare scenarios, and I actually was talking to one of the healthcare customers here, this would be an ideal way to map out certain things where doctors could start reporting, hey, we're seeing this health issue, and bring that into a global database and start mapping that out on a heat map. Now, once that we're done, of course, we're gonna share that, but let's have a look at the visualization first. So, first example I wanna show you is I have this table that I imported just using the zip code. So what I can do is I can go in, insert a map, launch Power Map. This Power Map will load. I get the globe. Since these are the release candidate bits, automatically what it will do is, based on the way you named your columns or based on the way you identified the data type within your Power Pivot workbook, it will automatically map that for you. Okay? So what it says here is there's a couple of things that based on name that I find out. In your table, you had something that was called postcode. We call that zip code, so we're gonna map that to identify that as a zip code. We identified something in your table that was listed lat and long. Well, that to us appears to be latitude longitude. And then we had a street. We're gonna map that to the street level. And with that, what I get at that point is I get some visualization of each of those regions. Okay? What I can do is very touch friendly, right? I'm using my Surface. If you look at the performance of this, I'm using my Surface Pro on this. Okay? So what I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna map labels, and I can actually see where I am, and I could start browsing around. I could start zooming in and out. I can make things look different, okay? And add some of those visualization components to it. Now, what else I get is at this point, based on that automatic detection, one of the first things it will identify for me is a layer. And so using Power Map, you can build multiple layers. Why does that make sense? Well, I have all these data sets that I combined with Power Query. Now I can take those and lay them on top of each other. That's another entry in the crime data set, right? So I see this coming up. I can actually add a layer to this and say for some of those layers, okay, I do have the same level of geography and mapping, but I might want to choose a different representation. So what I can do now is I can say, hey, you know what? I want to be able to map the postcode as an additional layer and show that as a region. Okay, so it would map that out. I didn't map the data type there. But what I can do is I could actually then map the postcode out and it would color in that region. Okay. As I make this part of my data set, I can then combine those multiple data sets, overlay them with each other. And one of the things you see coming up there is what we call annotations and legends. What you can do with that data set is you can really start making, don't you love that? There we go. You can right click on any of those data sets and make annotations to this. Now the cool thing about annotations is you can put a little note in about, hey, look at this, crime is high. Yeah, that's because that one guy that lives there seems to be causing trouble all the time. You could put that in and you can actually map that to an image URL that is part of your Power Pivot model. So you can add that annotation and actually put that visualization as part of that. Okay. One of the other things you can do is you can add charts to this. Now what I showed you was a very easy step for a very basic visualization. Let's make that a bit more complex. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to this workbook and look at that flight delay and weather information. Okay. Actually what I did in this workbook is I have a couple of things that I did put in there. Okay. I also pulled in information using that Windows Azure Data Market add-in and said, I also want to pull in weather-related information and look at things like hurricanes and volcanoes and tornadoes and see if there's any influence with the weather impacting the delays at certain airports and see what the cascade effect of that would be and really start overlaying those data together. So what I can do is the following. I'm going to insert a power map, launch power map, and one of the things you see here is actually combine multiple tours. The great thing about a tour is a story, a way of storytelling. And when I want to tell a story, I want to make that story animated, make it flow, and really provide the data insights that I can. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a new tour. Now what you'll see is that when I start a new tour, it's going to expose all the objects from my data model. Okay? So I have my Power Pivot model, and on my first layer I have different things like airport codes and airport names and states. So what I can say is I'm going to take this airport state, map those states out. I also want to put the city in there. I also want to put the airport code in, for example, and the airport code I can address and say that this is something else. This is other. Okay? What we're using there is we're using the Bing API for the mapping. So if I have an airport code that does not fall within my boundaries, actually the Bing API will figure that out and say like airport code for Brussels is BRU. If I had a flight from Brussels that was coming into New York and I didn't have that in my data set, I can still map that out based on the fact that I'm using the API to retrieve that. Now, I'm identifying my geo on that layer. So what I can do now is I can say, hey, so this is the geographical representation of my US airports. What I'm going to do next is now I'm going to identify let's say the region, okay, and for that region I want to color in, and my category should be the state, drag and drop this, am I on the right table there, okay, I can have the different states there, and I should be able to just drop this to region. If this mouse would be responsive there, okay, category of state, yeah, this will do. Now what else I can do is I can now say like, you know what, show me the amount of passengers that I have on each of those regions and automatically my color coding will change. If you played with Power Map before, This is the released candidate bits. And so what we actually allow you to do is change the colorization on each of those as well. Okay? Now, of course, this is only my first layer. What else I'm interested in is I am also interested in building a second layer on top of that. And I can do that in a couple of ways. What I can do here at first is I can say, hey, you know what? I want to add a scene to this. On that scene, I'm going to delete this annotation. I want to map the labels as part of that. And actually, I want to create an additional layer on which my geography is going to be airport code. Okay. And I can map that as other. And what I can do then is I could say, give me the over average, average overall delay, not as a geography, sorry. So what I'm going to specify then is what's going to be the average delay for each of those airports. Let's map out the total delay for each of those airports. Now, I'm showing this rather flat, but what I can do is I can now say I have this layer sitting here. I can go and look at that data and kind of map out like, hey, what are my busiest airports here? Okay, so we're now going to continue to add layers to this. I'm going to scroll on top of one of them. I'm going to see those airports and they're going to be popping up. What else I can do is I can now add another layer, and let's add another one to this. So we're going to add another scene to it. On that scene, we're going to say, you know what, let's get rid of that layer one. Okay, but we're going to keep that layer two. Okay. So what I can see now, I have each of those airports. Okay, I see San Francisco, the overall average total delay. Okay, sum that up. That's quite a couple of minutes, isn't it? Historically. Now what I'm going to do next is I'm going to put another layer in place. Okay, and add a layer to it and say, hey, so let's add tornadoes. Okay, and we're going to take the starting latitude and longitude. So starting lat is going to be lat. Okay, the starting longitude is going to be long. I'm going to put that in. Okay, and we can see tornado mappings. Yikes. Okay, what I can do on that part is actually I can change that visualization and say that I want to see this as a bubble, or I want to see that as a heat map, okay, and really zoom in and say like, oh wow, this is nice. I can now see a heat map and identify what's going to be the key factor, okay, the wind speed or whatever could be cause of that delay. Now the great thing about this as well is we actually have a fragment of time that we can add to that as well. So what I can see is I can see that a tornado typically happens on a certain date and time, right? So we can map that to here and say, hey, you know what? Let's take that date and time, okay? So automatically, as I represent that date and time feature on top of that, you will see that I get a time bar at the bottom there, okay? Which means I can hit play. Now, if I hit play, you're going to see that all those tornadoes are kicking in, right? So I have some really nice dynamic representation of my data right there. What I actually can do with that heat map is I can also specify how I want to define the time and say data shows for an instant or data shows until it's replaced. If I do data for an instant, what you're going to see happening is like, oh, look at that. I get my weather delays there. So now I'm using multiple layers. What I can now put on top of that is another layer that says, hey, I want to see the airport delays over time and put that time dimension on the airport. So what I can do now is I come back to that layer two that I had here that was showing me the airport delays, and I can do exactly the same thing. I can do the on-time performance, and I can actually say what was the actual flight date? Okay. So what I will get at this point is I have the actual flight date, and you'll see that that flight date, I have more weather information than I have flight data, so you'll see my hurricanes kicking in first, but then you'll see my time going up. And of course, what I'm going to do on that portion is I'm going to specify that I want to show that data for an instant, so you'll see that that time will go up and down as well as part of that. Now, what's really cool about this is I have the possibility then to work with multiple themes. Okay, so I could change the theme on that. And this is really using the Bing Map API to represent multiple themes. And then once that I'm done, I can actually go to the settings of each of those and really build a nice storyline on top of my data. Okay, now then that's where you go to like, oh, now that I'm done and I can see the data findings and annotations and such, of course I could continue to build on that, but then I could actually take this workbook, publish that with the Power View report, with the Power Map capabilities in there, and then represent that and bring that into an experience where people will start consuming this. Okay? So if we then look at this from a consumption perspective, I can then publish that onto a SharePoint site and share it that way as one of my Power Pivot workbooks, or I can roll that in into the Power BI capability, which allows us to share that as a Power BI site. Now, when I do the Power BI site, what I will get is the following, okay? Power BI site in Office 365 is going to give you a couple of features. And if you have not signed up for it, one of the features that we're actually adding as part of the preview as we have it at this point is the Q&A feature. Now, you don't need to be an expert on Q&A or on Power Pivot to start using that, because what we do with the visualizations in Power Map is we're actually analyzing the data model. Okay, you mapped or identified something as a latitude longitude, we'll be using that as a latitude longitude. If you identified something as an employee and you named that column employee in your Power Pivot workbook, we will know what an employee is. If there's a number that is called salary, we will know how much that employee makes, and we will automatically know the difference on who makes more than the others, right? Because that's just a number representation. So even if you're not going to build out and enhance that Power BI model, what would happen is with some very basic model that you publish onto those Power BI sites, you can start using Q&A and actually start querying and bringing some visualization based on that. Now, what is in this for you, right? I mean, I can download that Power Query add-in, I can download the Power Map, but if you look at the full Power BI offering, it really is in the collaboration and the representation of your data. So the way you're going to share data will be one of the key offerings there, okay? So the Q&A is actually, if we look at that, and we showed that in the session yesterday, the Q&A will just allow you to query that data and come up with the best representations. Now, the cool thing about this is because this is a Power BI Office 365 offering that we control the patching and the updates, basically. If we enroll and roll out a new feature in terms of visualization, automatically you would be able to take advantage of that. So the only thing you do is you have your workbook published and your model is published, and then you could start exploring that data. So let's have a look on what we actually do there in terms of visualization and how we bring that experience onto any HTML device. Okay. Question. Yeah, so you're asking a really good question there, okay? What I'm showing you is the Power BI offering as it's full. If I were to do the editing of my Excel workbook and I use Power Query to retrieve that information and so on, yes, I can do that, and I can basically publish that onto any SharePoint site, okay? One of the constraints you're going to have if you were to put that onto SharePoint is you're going to have some restrictions with the workbook, and you're going to have some restrictions with the built-in visualization. And I'm going to show you that built-in visualization on how that looks like on a Power BI site. Okay? The core concept that we have there from a design perspective is cloud first, because that allows us to really roll something out at massive scale, great visualizations, and easy to patch and update, which is actually what Office 365 does frequently in terms of updates and new capabilities using Office apps and so on that comes available. Let's have a look at that. Okay. So what I have here is, let me switch to that. There we go. So what I have here is my Power BI tenant. Okay, it's Dandy's demo site. What I did is I uploaded a workbook, and everyone that's been using SharePoint and uploads a workbook gets that workbook uploaded into a into a document, right? Into a document gallery, basically. So the new functionality with Power BI actually sits here. What that Power BI component will do, it's going to scan your SharePoint libraries, and it's going to look at the workbooks that you have permission to and you're allowed to read. Now, what I see is I have a couple of workbooks that I actually have published here. Okay, and actually some of these are part of our public demo set. So when you sign up for the Power BI preview and you start playing with this, you actually have that demo set available and you can go into it. So I have something like a workbook here that I could click on, okay? It will open up as an Excel web app, and then I could go through that workbook, look at that data. If I have access to do so, I can actually look at that data. Now, what I see here is I open that workbook, and automatically it will detect for me what kind of browser is that user using. Okay? So what it says here is the browser that I'm using is, in my case, IE11. I'm running Windows 8.1. And so what I can see is I can really have that rich experience and drill down using my browser, okay? So you will have that experience even if you were to publish that to SharePoint. You're still going to have that experience, but you're going to have workbook limitations and so on, okay? So I could do my filtering. I can look at my workbook and data, okay? So what we did in this example is we actually looked at pulled in a public data set in terms of population, and then we pulled in what I showed in the session yesterday is the alcohol consumption per capita for different kinds of drinks. Okay, so I can actually pull that in, and I have that in a browser. Of course, what I can do is I can then say, like, you know what, I actually want to edit that in Excel and make modifications to it, or I want to edit that in my Excel web app. Okay, now let's have a look at another workbook here. So back to my Power BI site. Okay, as I said, I'm browsing this. One of the things that we released as well is what we call a Power BI app. And a Power BI app is a Windows 8 app that you can run on a Surface RT, or you can run that on pure Windows. And what you can do is you can actually connect to that Power BI document library and start favoriting the workbooks that you play with, okay? There's an example here that talks about shark attacks. So when I look at that, I could go to that experience, I could look at that workbook and so on, browse through it, do my filtering and so on. But if you look on the right-hand corner there, and that's what we do with Power BI, you see that this Power BI experience that I have here, I could say you'll see that I have this button here. This is the preview of the HTML5 capabilities. Now, and this is really the great thing about having this as a cloud offering is that we're much faster to market in order to be able to roll out new capabilities, okay? Because we will update and patch those tenants and provide new capabilities. Like, for example, in the preview that we're now, some of those visualizations that I have in HTML5 preview might not be available yet. If we make those available next week, get available for you, and you're going to see new features coming up as we work with that. So what I can do now is I can go to that HTML preview, okay? And that workbook will now show in an HTML5 preview, okay? Hey, HTML5, okay? So pull out your HTML5 devices that you might have here, and you could start using that, okay? Because this is now an in-browser HTML5 experience, and of course I still have the functionality, okay? And I can look at this example that I have here, shark attack summaries. Let's find out, a blue shark is not that dangerous, okay? Only 36 attacks globally, okay? Because that's very few blue sharks, I guess, okay? But yeah, you have that interaction on an HTML5 device. Now, what if I want to install that Power BI application? Okay. What I can do is I can install that Power BI app, okay, and have that as a pure native Windows 8 application. Okay. So if I were to run this, I'm running this on my Surface Pro now. If I were to run this on my Surface RT, same thing is going to happen. I log in, I have my Power BI app, and I can browse through my reports and pull up my reports and say like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is my restaurant bar data. So what's gonna happen is I'm gonna pull that up, it's gonna connect, it's gonna pull in that report, and this might take a while because it needs to get the initial data set. And I'm actually running this on a pre-production tenant, so this actually might not be available at this point as we're rolling a patch on this demo case. But the great thing about this is I can just use that same functionality in terms of visualization. Okay? Questions? This is a pretty cool feature, isn't it? Because now I can actually grab my reports, make that available on any device using that Power BI app. Okay? Questions? Anyone? Okay. So I have this all published. One of the other things is, oh, what about things like data refresh? How? What's going to happen to that point? Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. What happens is, I have this workbook, I have this published, and of course behind this workbook I have a data set that I need to refresh. Part of that Power BI experience is I can actually use what we call a data management gateway. So you have your workbook, you have your local data set sitting within your organization, you're going to publish that workbook as part of your Office 365 experience, and on that Office 365, what you're going to be defining is a data management gateway that's going to connect to your on-premise data access, okay? So in that admin console, what I can do is I can specify how my data connection is going to look like. So what you define there is, okay, this is my data source, it is a local data source, and you're actually going to be installing a gateway client to get access from that cloud to your local database, okay? And you should really look at that as part of our preview. The great thing about that extension is not only the data management gateway, but it's also what I talked about, and you're not going to have that if you don't enroll into the Power BI capabilities, is the capability to do that enterprise search. If I go back to that workbook in that Power Query, what I can actually do in Power Query here, I'm not on the slide deck, I'll move that. What I can do on the Power Query is that once that I did refresh that query using that online search, is actually go to that query and say share and publish that within my tenant. So at that point, it will become available for anyone to use. And as you can see in the slide here, you see that you get a different icon for something that is published within your organization. The great thing about that data catalog is kind of similar to what we do with Power Pivot workbooks that are SharePoint integrated, where you can go to the management dashboard and actually see on the consumption. So you can see what's the amount of queries, what's the amount of refreshes, what are the top used queries. So you have that built-in data usage and telemetry that you could put on top of that. Okay? Before we go to the evaluations, let's have a look at some of the other data sets that are definitely worth playing with. So what I did is, especially if you think about the open data capabilities, okay, there's a couple of samples that we did enroll into our public Power BI site. Okay. So one of the things that we actually did there was that, I could pin this to start. We'll just run it from here. One of the things that we did is we wanted to find data sets that we like people to get familiar with. I think everyone ever has been to a restaurant or a bar. And actually, this is a small business example that we use with effectively with a bar where the workbook is published and people could play around it. One of the other things that we published is Olympic medal information based on the history of the Olympic Games. And you can really start drilling into this. I seem to have a connection. Oh, there we go. Okay, so what happens is my workbook now displays. I can start filtering and say, for example, I want to see, look at the French there. Yeah, I can actually I can do that, okay? I can go into filtering. You sure you want me to do that? Okay. Let's look in the filtering, and I could say country or region. I can say I want to see all countries, or I want to filter. Can I just type here? I gotta scroll, I think. New Zealand, there we go. I don't want to compare that. I don't want to compare that against Belgium, because the only moment we actually had a swimmer was, Atlanta 2000 something? Whatever Atlanta was. So, what I can see here is that New Zealand seems to be pretty cool in athletics and boxing, so I have to be careful there, okay? You don't seem to be that experienced in badminton, right? My wife still thinks that's not a sport because I play it, but hey. What I can see here is not only do I have, so within my filtering, you have all the functionality that you typically have within a Power View report. So what I can do is I have sorting capabilities, I have filtering capabilities, and I can also pop out the report. Now, the nice thing about the report like this, what I can do is I can then take that report filter, and I should be able to do something like this. I want to share this report with someone else and go like, hey, have you seen this? Okay, you should have a look at this report. And so what's going to happen is you send out that report, the user will then get that report in his mailbox, can get a screenshot and a view of how that report looks, and we'll be able to drill down into that information as well. Okay, and that's really the strong component with the Power BI capabilities as we have it there. Now, of course, there's many, many more things to this. One of the things that I did not show you is you look on the Power Query capabilities, the Power Query actually has a full expression language that sits behind that model where you could do some really, really advanced capabilities and drill downs. One of my colleagues, Faisal, actually did run a session on that at one of the TEGETs. I think it was TEGET Europe. And he's going into the advanced capabilities that you could do with Power Query. Definitely a couple of things that you should look at and have a look on how that could be used. Okay, with that, from a timing perspective, I think we are at time. I gladly take questions because I do have a bit of time to take questions. Go ahead. Can I send data from cubes and tabular models through Power BI is the question. So what I can do is I can only expose that using the Power Pivot workbook at this point. Yeah, you could have SQL Server as a data source for Power BI as well. So yeah, that is part of the roadmap actually. Now, before you all go, one of the things that I forgot doing and they took it back from me. I keep doing forgetting these prizes, okay? So I got one prize left. what am I supposed to do with this? Peter, you're a speaker. What am I supposed to do with this? What would be a good way to give this away? Okay, how about this one? Anyone that could guess on which airline I am flying to Sydney? Oh my goodness, what have I done? That was close. China Airlines, who said China up front here? I thought it was a great opportunity. I've never been on China Airlines. This will be my first time. Before you leave, make sure you complete the eval. Personally, I want to thank each and every one of you for giving me the opportunity to speak here. I hope it was absolutely worth the investment of your time. Unfortunately, I'm going to be heading out immediately after this. I can honestly say, so I am in my day-to-day job, the content owner for Database MBI for Tagit North America and Tagit Europe. So it was a nice opportunity for me to see how things work here. One of the things that I'm actually doing as part of my data set and reporting is map out the Tagit attendance per population for the country that the event is held. And I can by far tell you that Tagit New Zealand is definitely the most successful Tagit in terms of attendance over the population here. So thanks for that. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thanks. Awesome.